swallow a pill and it's just to the side of your throat, it's that it adheres to your throat because the medicine is being released because it thinks it's like in your stomach and it can burn and then it really attaches.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I've had that happen. I want to talk about something different than Luke this morning. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. When I was in Tulsa, I had a Bible study probably most every day, and some days two and three Bible studies with different people. And I've run into this before when I've spoken about total abandonment and the death of self and take no thought for anything, all the stuff that I teach. And and I've spoken about this here before, but it's maybe too long ago. It's important for you to remember that I must be faithful to what I see, but you may not be able to see the same thing, or your purpose may not just be to see the same thing. And so that's the basis. This is what we're going to talk about in verse Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, who also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, the body that they're talking about is the bride of Christ. And the idea of who is a member of that body and who isn't, in God's eyes, is never our business. But so also is it's never our business to what degree any one person understands and others don't. So let's continue. For if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body? Where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now, this is where Harry had such a difficulty for so many years, because if you remember, I've always said that it's, he couldn't understand how any of the televangelists, or especially the ones that we investigated, could ever be in the body. And I keep telling him it's none of our business, but it's certainly possible. And so the whole mystery of God is based on this preparation of the bride. And it's never our business who's there and who isn't. And it's not my business to cause you to understand the same things that I understand or see. But I have to be faithful to what I see if I can prove it in the scriptures. Now, I don't want you to use this as a justification for rebellion, which some in the body have used in the past. But you have to rest in wherever you are and be at peace in that position. Okay? Anybody have any thoughts or comments about it?
Just when I'm thinking about the televangelist thing, we can't see what their repentance or
there's only a handful of them that we've looked into over the years that were pure crooks, that knew what they were doing was wrong. And one of them we helped get prosecuted, but the government took the easy way out and got them on tax evasion instead of fraud. And so we don't have any case law is what we're working towards anyway. Gary, I mean John.
We're all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles. I'm trying to.
Well, the way you can see that, whether you be Jews or Gentiles, whether you be, remember, there's two things. One is
the televangelists, the Gentiles, in that.
Yeah, but so are the, you know, so was Abel.
So anyone that's been baptized is in the body.
No, baptism. Don't think of it from what God means from baptism, buried. But again, let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 4. Let's start in verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel, or is the gospel, and will be the gospel, preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Baptism for Christ was the acknowledgement of his death and his burial. And the same is true for us, this group. But burial and death are something that all men go through. And so it's never our business who is saved and who isn't, who is part of the body and who isn't. Because baptism, i.e. the burial, is common to everybody. Does that communicate?
Confused by that a little bit, but as I think about it, I guess I can resolve it. Yeah, I guess baptism is different. We know that. I mean, when I came here, I'd been baptized, and most people have been baptized. But the question is whether that baptism includes them in the body.
And again, we don't
really
know.
That's really only what they believe. If they believe
right.
They are, then they are.
We don't know.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's true too.
Not only don't we know, it's none of our business.
That's more appropriate.
Let's go to Romans 10. Starting in verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. And in many of the early manuscripts, there's another part of that. There's another sentence there, or another part of that sentence. It says, "Who shall descend into the deep?" That is to bring Christ up again from the dead, as if you could be saved by your own works. But what saith it? That the word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And the word, again, it's not words about the word, it's the word. And the word is Jesus Christ, which is shed on all flesh. So again, it's critical. It's never our business. Say not even in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven. Say not even in your heart, who shall descend into hell.
I have no interest in trying to judge whether someone...
Oh, I know you don't.
Okay.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to... This was in line with the same, what we've been speaking.
Okay.
But the point of it is, can you know yourself? Can you have assurance? That's a biggie. You can have assurance, but not because of sorcery. A few denominations believe that if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, whatever that means, then you're assured. The salvation is assured. That doesn't comport with the Scriptures. The Scriptures talk about the constant need for repentance and all the other things that we've studied over the years. But again, it's never our business to say who is and who isn't. But it's the preacher's business to be faithful and preach what he sees. But every once in a while, I have to do this because people up there that heard me speak later came to me privately and saying, "Well, you know, I can't do what you're saying. It's just impossible for me to do it at this time." And my assurance was not, "Don't worry about it. That's not your business. It's God's business." But I've never heard me speak. The only thing I've ever heard is one or two times, I can't remember, but very few I've listened to the Bible study tapes, and I scared myself. And so I just wanted to make this clear. That,
well, getting back to your original point about the composition of the body and everyone's particular place in the body, that's something that we need to think about right here in this room.
And, amen.
And this block.
I mean, right.
We're not all
the ear.
Exactly.
We're not all the nose.
Exactly.
We're not all the elbow.
Exactly. There are many things that make it work.
Right.
And the things that might seem to be the most important part of it are
the weakest.
All that.
Yeah, no, the thing, that's what it says. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12 a minute. Verse 21. "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or weak," they're talking about weak in the faith, "are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular." So really, from this, the definition of a church is if one suffers, everybody suffers. If one rejoices, everybody rejoices. So anyway, I just wanted to go through that this morning. Anybody have any other response? Everybody understand? All right, I don't have anything else to say. Take it, big guy.